Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking a little time out in the day to begin with some inspiration, talk about current events, and today we're going to learn a little bit about the Huffington Post article that Dana Ullman wrote, and we're going to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is September 30th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 104. Thank you for joining me on this rainy, rainy day. I don't know how it is in your part of the world, but we've been having rain for 3 days, and we've really needed it. It's been a drought for most of the summer, and I think the ground is soaking it up. Now, I would like to also thank everyone who has been listening to the show, who has gone over to the Blog Talk Radio website and clicked listen, friend, favorite, or have left a comment. You can listen to the old shows and download them to your computer, your iTunes, or iPod. Today's inspiration comes from Twitter. Gary Loper wrote, "Nothing great in the world has been accomplished without passion," quoted by George Wilhelm. And we all know that homeopaths are extremely passionate about what they do, about healing, about Hahnemann, about the Organon, and about their principles. The next inspiration comes from a Twitter quote from Jay Cordella. "When you think or say, 'I am,' be sure it is always a positive statement or attribute. Your thoughts create you and your life." There's also an inspirational video on the front page of Homeopathy World Community. And, you know, if one person who is living a life without arms and legs can overcome all obstacles, can do things like jump into a pool of water, and you think, oh, my gosh, you're going to drown, but he does and comes up smiling, then you know that you can overcome just about anything that you're given in life. Another quote from Twitter is Daniel K. Foisey. He writes, "We do not see things as they are. We see them as we are." And he has a link. It comes from the Talmud. And finally, I'm going to quote from Lynn Gordon on Twitter. She has a link also. It says, "I just took action to protect our supplements. Natural supplements should not be illegal. Do it now." And I did. I retweeted it. I went over to the link and I clicked it so that if you are able to, I'll give you the link in the place where you can also support this cause. We're going to read a little bit about depression and homeopathy. Our advocate out in the world is Dana Ullman. He's posted a new blog, "Homeopathy, a Healthier Alternative for Depression," and he's written the article, "Homeopathy, a Healthier Alternative for Depression," on the Huffington Post, and was honored that the editor gave this article the headline in the living section of the website, which then places it on the front page in front of hundreds of thousands of people, even millions, he says. This is the website. Woohoo! Okay, yeah, I agree with you, Dana. Yes, get the word out. Homeopathy heals. Homeopathy works for all kinds of conditions, emotional instability, physical problems. And he's asking you also to support him, his writings, and his works by going to his website and purchasing books and medicines. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to say that 340 million people in the world suffer from depression, and that number is rising. The statistics for the Americans who have depression is 9 million people and rising. I'm finding this hard to believe. Approximately 19 million individuals over the age of 18 are affected by depression on an annual basis. One in four women will suffer from depression, and one in 10 men will suffer from depression. These statistics are not absolutely correct because women are apt to see their doctor more often than men are. I guess women are willing to ask for directions when they're driving, and they're willing to ask for help when they're really feeling down and low. Depression strikes all races, whether you are rich or poor, no matter what your place and station in life. You can easily be depressed. Depression comes on just if you have had a life experience. But if it is just an acute, I mean, it's normal if you have lost a loved one to feel depressed and sad. But if this type of condition lingers and becomes chronic, then you do need to seek help. Well, almost everyone will be negatively impacted by this sort of depression at some time in their lives. Those people for whom depression is more serious can adversely impact their personal, professional, social lives. They may be unable to function normally due to their depression. And I read a statistic that 80% of the individuals living with depression are not being treated for their condition. And the reason might be that they feel that there's a stigma associated with being diagnosed with depression and with the treatments. We know that homeopathy has a place in treating depression because it treats the whole person, taking into consideration mind, body, spirit, and emotional issues, their delusions, dreams, fears, the etiology, and meaning the cause or whatever is ailing the individual. When a person is chronically in pain, they can easily become depressed, whether it is from arthritis, high blood pressure, colitis, or fibromyalgia. Dealing with day-to-day pain takes its toll. The Medical Care Research Unit, School of Health and Related Research in the University of Sheffield, has gone and done a research study. Homeopathy is a complementary and integrative medicine used for depression, is the title of the study. The aim was to investigate the functional use of an individualized, key word there, individualized homeopathic medicine in two potencies in acute depression. Okay, so this study was done for acute depression rather than for chronic depression. And the drug fluoxetine was the control in the study. 91 outpatients with moderate to severe depression were assigned to receive an individualized homeopathic medicine or fluoxetine 20 milligrams per day in a prospective randomized double-blind, double-dummy, 8-week single-center trial. The primary efficacy measure was the analysis of the mean change in the Montgomery and Asperg Depression Rating Scale, MADRS, depression scores, using a non-inferiority test with a margin of 1.45. Secondary efficacy outcomes were response and remission rates. Tolerability was assessed with the side effect rating scale of the Scandinavian Society of Psychopharmacology. The mean MADRS scores differences were not significant at the fourth P equals 0.654 and eighth week P equals 0.965 of treatment. Non-inferiority of homeopathy was indicated because the upper limit of the confidence interval for the mean difference in MADRS change was less than the non-inferiority margin. The mean differences of homeopathy to fluoxetine. And they give the numbers in that study. I will provide a link for you. So basically they're saying that there were no significant differences between the percentages of response or remission rates in both groups, whether the homeopathic group or the drug group. However, there was a higher percentage of patients who were taking the fluoxetine who reported troublesome side effects. As we know, homeopathy does not usually have side effects. It might have an initial aggravation if the remedy is touching the resonance of the individual, but that can be ameliorated and tuned by changing the amount or frequency of giving the homeopathic remedy. If a person is going to continually repeat and repeat taking a homeopathic remedy, then there might go into approving. But if you are being professionally cared for, you know that this is not something that's going to happen. So people should not be taking homeopathics on their own in a serious condition. So this study illustrates the feasibility of randomized, controlled, double-blind trials of homeopathy in depression. And so the outcome was good, and we need some more of this type of controlled studies. Okay. In addition, there's been more studies, and, you know, we need to let people know that there is evidence for using homeopathy in the journals, in the scientific journals and the medical journals. In the Journal of Psychiatry, there was a control showing the dropout rates in placebo-controlled and active-controlled clinical trials of antipsychotic drugs. It was a meta-analysis done in 2006. And so one of the things about these trials is that there are high dropout rates for individuals who are doing antipsychotic drugs and with these placebo-controlled designed hypothesis. So we need to take into consideration what it means when the trial is done and the initial group of people who start a trial go through to the end, because I think that is a positive outcome. It really says a lot about the testing. In other words, if there's no side effects and a person is getting a pretty good outcome, then it says something positive about that trial, about that, whether it's a drug or a homeopathic remedy. And it, in the study that I indicated earlier, the number of people who stayed in the program, stayed in the trial, was extremely high. And the numbers for that will be posted in the blog. All right, I'm going to go ahead and begin reading the Organon today, except to lighten it up a little bit, I'll give you a puzzler. It's called One Sun, What Sun? A man is sitting in a pub, I guess that's a bar in England, feeling rather poor. He sees the man next to him pull out a wad of 50-pound notes out of his wallet. He turns to the rich man and says to him, "I have an amazing talent. I know almost every song that has ever existed." The rich man laughs, and the poor man says, "I am willing to bet you all the money you have in your wallet that I can sing a genuine song on a lady's name of your choice in it." The rich man laughs again and says, "Okay, how about my daughter's name? Joanna Armstrong Miller." The rich man goes home poor, and the poor man goes home rich. What song did he sing? That's the puzzler for today, and I'll try to remember to give you the answer at the end of the show. It's a fairly, I thought that was an easy puzzle, but let's see what you come up with. Also on the network, we've got so many fantastic blogs and discussions going on. The one about single remedies versus combinations has been going on for a number of months now, it seems, and there's 171 replies and comments. In addition, please take a look at the special action item for the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. There is a place where you can comment and post your vision, what you think should happen in these trials for the United States clinical trials with alternative medicine, and whether homeopathy should be included in that program. All right, we are ready to move on to the aphorism number 85. And lately, the readings, Hahnemann has been telling us how to proceed with the method of taking your case notes. And here he says, the homeopath, or he, begins a fresh line with every new circumstance mentioned by the patient or his friends, so that the symptoms shall be all ranged separately, one below the other. He can thus add to any one. That may at first have been related in too vague a manner, but subsequently more explicitly explained. So let me go a little bit further into this. In the previous aphorisms, aphorism 82, 3, 4, and 5, we were just learning about how to take the case and the prerequisites for the physician for tracing the disease. We also learned that the homeopath basically sits quietly, listens intently, watches, observes, and keeps silent so that the patient can just flow with the energy, flow and do a stream of consciousness of important things to him, what he's noticing about his body, what's going on in his emotions, in his mind, how he perceives his illness personally. And the homeopath is now taking his pad of paper and jotting down the most important points and leaving space, Hahnemann is telling us, leave space after each point so that you can fill in the blanks that are missing to get more of the details. But at the point of intake, don't interrupt. And we also mentioned that today we have the availability of videotaping so that you're not going to miss anything and you can document your case, or you might audio tape it, or you're on your computer and you're typing in verbatim, word for word, what the patient is saying so that you could look up those specific words in sensations as if, or in the rubrics in the repertory, and then, of course, confirming in the Materia Medica. So now we're learning on, I think it's kind of self-explanatory what he says in aphorism number 85. You just, when the time is right, you'll be able to ask some more questions. Aphorism number 86 says, when the narrators have finished what they would say of their own accord, the physician then reverts to each particular symptom and elicits more precise information respecting it in the following manner. He reads over the symptoms as they were related to him, one by one, and about each of them he inquires for further particulars. For example, at what period did this symptom occur? Was it previous to taking the medicine he had hitherto been using whilst taking the medicine, or only some days after leaving off the medicine? What kind of pain? What sensation exactly was it that occurred on this spot? Where was the precise spot? Did the pain occur in fits or by itself at various times, or was it continued without intermission? How long did it last? At what time of the day or night? And in what position of the body was it worst or ceased entirely? What was the exact nature of this or that event or circumstance mentioned, described in plain words? So here we have a lot of hints from Hahnemann how to go about eliciting more detailed information from the narrator. He calls the patient the narrator because the patient is basically telling his story. He's informing us of how he is, and it's like almost like a biography of what's happening in the person's life. So here, let's review a little bit about the questions that Hahnemann is teaching us how to seek the further information. So the first one, he says, an example is, what period did this symptom occur? So when he's doing that, he's telling us a timeline. Basically, you're getting a feel for the context and the time period of when a new symptom might have occurred so that you can differentiate it from what perhaps was normal in the person's life and when did this new sensation symptom develop as an etiology. So you can say, okay, so the person says when I was a teen or when I was 5 or when I fell off a horse and hit my head. So now you're getting a perspective about what time in the person's life these new symptoms occurred. The next question he asked is, was it previous to taking the medicine he had hitherto been using? So here I question, when he's talking about the medicine, is he talking about a drug that was given to him by an allopath, or is he talking about a medicine, meaning the homeopathic medicine? So if the person has been under homeopathic treatment, then it's perhaps referring to that, so that the homeopath can take and reevaluate what's going on and make adjustments for the homeopathic remedy that's being given. If a new symptom is occurring or if an old symptom is coming up or where he stands in the homeopathic treatment. If anyone on the live chat is listening, I would love to hear some comments about this and if you have a different perspective on the questions that Hahnemann is providing for us in the case-taking process. The next question that he asked is, whilst taking the medicine, therefore, you're kind of making a discernment, a judgment about what's happening during the treatment, whether the person was taking opium, let's say, that would be a drug, a crude drug, and for a particular condition, and was that the time when the symptom came on, or was the person given the homeopathic remedy opium, let's say, for constipation and not having any pain or whatever the symptoms might be, and what was the change that occurred, and when did it occur? Did it occur before, during, or after the medicine was taken? And again, the next question that he provides is, or only some days after leaving off the medicine. So here we know that homeopathic remedies last for a very long time. And I'm hearing beeps, hello to the people who are getting on the line. We are in the middle of the show. And so the question here is, did the person stop taking the remedy and then there was a change? Or let's say somebody was taking drugs and got off their drugs and then there was a change. So you're really getting the information, drawing it out of the person to get a little bit more detail about the surrounding conditions with their symptoms and the interaction and response of their vital force and whether it's a drug or the homeopathic medicine. The next question that he provides is, what kind of pain, what sensation exactly was it that occurred on this spot? So perhaps the reason he's saying on this spot is that a person, while they were animated and talking and doing a lot of gestures, perhaps actually pointed to the area on their body where they were indicating having some sort of discomfort, pain, or ailment, or they were, you know, demonstrating what was going on in their body. So then you can elicit more information to, they might say, you know, it hurt me here. That's what people often do. But you need to actually draw out the kind of hurt it is. Can you give me some more words? What does it mean, it hurt you? Sometimes I'll say, if I were feeling that kind of sensation in my body, what would it feel like? Or was it, where was it exactly on this spot? And so you're really getting a lot of detailed information. The next question he provides is, where was the provide spot, the precise spot? So perhaps sometimes we know that if a person points to a place, it helps us to keynote or indicate what remedies. For instance, Calibichromicum has that particular keynote where a person points to a specific spot, and if there is pain in that spot, congestion, blockage, obstruction, then we know that that's kind of a hint to us that Calibichromicum is a good remedy. The next question he says is, did the pain occur in fits and by itself at various times? So here we're learning a lot more about the quality of the pain, whether it is intermittent or if it's intense, if it's by itself, or if there is a concomitant, some other type of symptom or pain that goes along with that one particular pain that the person was indicating. So a lot of people probably have a few concomitants that they recognize right away because it comes up a lot. And then the next question he provides is, or was it continued without intermission, meaning that it wasn't a pain that comes and goes, but it's a pain that's constantly there. It's there all the time. It's sort of like a background noise for that person. And then you ask, how long did it last? So we're going to find out a little bit more. And then he asks, at what time of the day or night? And in what position of the body was it worst or ceased entirely? So by this type of questioning, we learn what aggravates or alleviates the symptom for the person. We're learning a little bit about the modalities of the individual and the discomforts that they're having. So we find out sometimes illnesses or aggravations to a person's condition comes on at sunrise or at dawn or in the middle of the night. We know that there's calicarb. The person wakes at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the night and starts coughing, and they just have to keep coughing to clear out their congestion. So, again, we're learning about the way that the individual is responding to their illness and the disease, and these are all cues, clues, and signals to us where to look for our healing remedy. We also learned the body position. Some people feel that they have to scrunch up in a ball or they have to stretch out their back. All different ways that we learn about the individual and how he relates to his condition, what makes him better or worse. It looks like we are out of time, so I need to give you the answer to the puzzler. And the puzzler earlier in the show was asking a song that had everyone's name in it, and the answer is Happy Birthday to You. And that is how the person won the money from the rich man. And thank you, everyone, for listening today to today's show. It was great, and I love having you. Please comment on the blogs. Our time is really come to a close. Take your Organon off the shelf and read it. Support and help comment on Dana Ullman's website on the Huffington Post. And I'll see you the next time. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.